Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 49 for September 18th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you listen to podcasts, I am also posting the audio-only version of every episode on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever else people listen to podcasts. So be sure to search for Time and Research there. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And so over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each. I put the list together, which you should be seeing on your screen right now if you're watching the video. And so we're going to get through as many of those as we can today. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed this show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades. But he is off this week as moderator, and I have Mike Bassani here to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
David, thanks for having me on again. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade. We have a great list of stocks to go over today. I'm kind of excited. The market's kind of a little crazy here today. We thought we'd all sell off last night after the announcements. And look at that. We're stone's throw from all-time high in the SPY today. Will wonders never cease? So I have two great panelists with me today. And I'm going to give you guys a chance here to not only introduce yourself, but tell us a little about yourself. So let's start off with Oliver Schmalholz of newsqualified.com.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks a lot for the intro. So I'm Oliver Schmalholz. I'm originally from Bavaria. In Germany, and I run a company called News Quantified. What we do is we measure the impact of news on US stocks. And there's a repeatable behavior that's happening over and over and over for certain news types. And we use that to our advantage and generate profits, just like the hedge funds been doing for years. And I've been doing this since 2005. So there's a lot of history we have in our database, and really excited to be on today's show. So thanks a lot for having me.
Oliver, thanks. So names like Tesla, I'm sure, like news like today was all over your radar.
Oh, a ton of stuff going on there. Yeah.
We're also joined today by Jim Kenny of optionsprofessor.com. Jim, please take a couple minutes and tell us about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, sure. I provide the content over at optionprofessor.com, and basically Option Professor for decades now has been providing option learning experience education. And we try to look at the options from all different angles, meaning using them for cash flow or income purposes, using them for hedging purposes, either on individual positions or entire accounts. And then, of course, using it for limited risk speculation, and so many different ways to go: spreads, two-sided trades, straddle strangles, and, of course, all the hedging tactics that are out there. So there's a lot to learn, and we've been doing this for quite a long time.
Thanks, Jim. And for everybody else out there, my name is Mike Pisani with smartoptiontrading.com. And what I do is I look at the option flow all day long. I post it on my private Twitter feed. We look over technicals. We do charts and news. And we put these all together to come up with the best trading ideas for day traders and also for swing traders, right? So we're always looking at what flow looks best moving forward for the next day or going forward. And, you know, we use the option flow to tell us where they're playing on that day. When they're playing with specific names, we learned how to identify when they just keep doing momentum sweeps into weekly calls and tell you to stay with the name. So if that's something you're interested in, you can check me out at smartoptiontrading.com. All right, guys. So we have 15 names. We'll see how many we get through today. I don't think we've ever made it through the entire list. That's okay. So Oliver, let's start off. The first name on the list is JD. Why don't you tell us what you're thinking about that one?
Sure. So if we just look at the chart here, we're seeing this downtrend here in the past 3 months, up from the 41 area. We're now down to 25 and 3/4. All the news lately that have been out, all low impact. There's nothing really. If you look at the the 4th of September was the last major news event here where the stock went down 10%. So right now, I wouldn't see an entry here. But definitely, I wouldn't enter as a short at this point, and definitely nothing that points to any positive momentum here from the news side.
So let me ask you a question, Oliver, and I'm going to try to do this a lot with you guys. What would it take you to get you involved in this name at this point, from a long side? And I agree with you on the short side.
so what we typically sure what we typically like to see is a major news event that not only has big volume follows through, but also has price momentum in the same direction of the news announcement. So in case of positive news, you want the stock to start going up on big volume. And there's certain event types we look for. For example, analyst actions, upgrades, downgrades, earnings events. There's a bunch of other, we look at 200 different news types, and it's always you want to look at the combination of the price move together with the volume. And once you see that, then you want to jump in for a continued move. And a lot of times, the earnings obviously triggers a initial move at the beginning of the quarter, and that can last all the way to the next. But then you can have other interfering events in between earnings announcements that can cause major moves too. But whenever you see that kind of here low, and then some of them red, some of them green, there's just nothing right here on the news side of things that would scream, get me into this. But the last one we had here on the 4th of September, I'll use that as an example. You had 461% of the typical volume. And you saw that, early in the day. So if at 10 o'clock, you would have looked at our scan and the stock was at $27.90 on high volume, that would have been a good opportunity for a short here. And it closed out the day at $26.31. It would have made quite a nice profit. And then another 25, right down to $25.75 where we are now. So that's the kind of item you're looking for on the news side. Wait for the initial reaction. It's not a event type that has the same follow through each time, and then jump in after you see the initial market reaction and play the continued momentum.
Thank you, sir. Sure. Jim, what's your read on JD?
I think we lost Jim, so why don't you go ahead and hopefully he'll be back in a minute or so.
Okay. So here's my thoughts on JD. So we're in a very beat up sector, right? The China names have been beaten beyond belief. China's in a bear market this year. All the tariff news going on. And really, when I look at this chart, the first thing that stands out to me is, since this day right here, and you go all the way back now until July 10th, right? The 21-day, that black line, the 21-day moving average has been resistance in this name. We cannot get above it, right? Get a quick pop above it, but never close above it and keep coming down. And yeah, we're way oversold here. RSI is oversold. I can tell you this, from a day trade swing trader, I'd be watching this name tomorrow with no further tariff news for some type of China bounce and for a potential gap fill, right? You see this gap that's sitting here open? Maybe they try to come after it and it reconnects with the 8-day and you can make some quick money on it. So I'd be watching JD for that. I'd also be watching all the China names from an investment standpoint. If this is it, if this is the last round and these two sides start talking, these names are going to be a screaming buy to me at some point in the near future when the dust settles between the trade war. And what gave me a little bit of encouragement today is, we put our tariffs into effect last night. China's response today was fairly muted, and we did not go ahead and hit them again today. Trump said, unless they hit agriculture specifically, he wasn't going to do anything. So if this starts to quiet down, I would start keeping an eye on names like JD and the other China names. Jim, I see you're back with us.
Yeah, I just was going to add that obviously this stock has been hammered very hard, half price, right? And the only way to even consider something like this would be, in my view, if you could find some kind of a formation down here where there's a low surrounded by higher lows, either on a weekly graph or daily graph, and you wanted to take a shot and you wanted to basically make a bet that there was going to be some kind of a turn with a break in the China action. I definitely think they're both tiptoeing around. Like if they were boxing, it would be like two boxers that aren't really throwing punches, but they're just staring at each other and kind of walking around, because 25% tariffs that are really 10%, that's pretty much of a big difference. And then China's response was pretty muted. So it seems like they're doing more shadow boxing than real boxing right now. And if that's because they are going to be nice to each other, and maybe there could be nice and create some kind of a quasi-agreement. Of course, all the agreements I hear about, I don't see anything in writing. I guess he has an agreement with Mexico, but there's nothing on paper. So, maybe he'll come out with something that in language he could say has been agreed to. And maybe that would be enough to turn the thing. But if I saw a formation of a low surrounded by higher lows and I wanted to take a shot, I'd use whatever that point is at the bottom as my defense point, and I'd see if it could go back towards the 50-day average of 33 on a best case scenario.
Details about having things in writing. Come on.
Right. So, you know, it's all going to be talk, you know.
For me, China names right now remain a day trade or a scalp. That's about it. Unless there's big time option flow into them, I'm just not really looking at them. But this one tomorrow has my attention for that gap. All right, Oliver, let's go back to you. How about AT&T? What's your thoughts on this one?
Sure. Last earnings, end of July, beat earnings, stock was down. It just isn't a whole lot of, you know, momentum until you see more of the 5G coming out here. I mean, we're up 9% since the earnings, while the S&P is up 2.98%. So definitely, you know, way outperforming the general market. But the reaction here, you know, a little bit more than double the volume off of the last earnings right now. No news today to jump into AT&T, but there's a couple tickers on the list of 15 that actually had some interesting stuff today. So we'll get to those.
Yeah.
So AT&T on the sideline right now for us.
I have a different opinion. How about you, Jim?
Yeah, I definitely have at least a hold on this with a possibility of a buy. It looks like it's got a decent 1-2-3 formation that it's tried to set up. With the rally up to, I don't know what it was, 34 or something, pulled back to whatever it did. And now it's kind of trying to break to the upside. You know, the moving averages, it's right in a quandary, 50-day around $32, 200-day around 34.5, is trading 33.72. So if we jumped above 35, I think that would be a pretty good, strong sign. And this thing pays a tremendous dividend. So, you know, what a great dividend to get while you're watching the movie. And the movie's been playing between 35 and 30 for pretty much most of the year. And so if we start breaking above 35, you know, you could get people who say, you know, 5-6% on my money while I'm watching a telephone company is not terrible. Give me some of that.
So last week there was big buying into the December 35 calls just as it hit the 200. I have the 200 day at 33.44, so just a little bit under yours for whatever reason. And here we are flagging above it on my chart. You got 4 days sideways now. RSI is a little hot, but you don't see call buying like this in AT&T very often. So they put some big money to work into this name. And you have this gap over here that is, you know, quasi-filled. It's mostly filled. It actually goes all the way up to 34. And I think this one can get some momentum here. They're going to want to, you know, my guess is they're going to try to run ahead of 5G and not wait for it to come out. So this is a name that's on my radar. I will say that's a little extended off the 21 days. So a little bit more sideways. Sideways action or dip down, I'd be buying it. I would be definitely be careful chasing it here, though. I think I'd wait for some more sideways action or a small dip to buy into it. Jim, let's go back to you and let you take Microsoft first this time.
Yeah, Microsoft obviously is just a fantastic company and a fantastic performer. I think it might be benefiting from some rotation in tech, maybe a little bit out of the Facebooks and the Googles and a little bit maybe out of the Amazon with that big run up Amazon had. And it might be benefiting from some rotation within the tech sector over to it because it just doesn't seem to have as much froth in it as some of the others as far as, you know, just a parabolic move or, you know, in other words, it's a little bit away from its moving average. 96 is the 200-day and it's at 113. So it has some overbought condition to it and there's some vulnerability, but it's a good company. I personally would probably try to look to see if I can get pullbacks. If this S&P can't blow out the highs, and if it rolls over by Thursday or Friday, you'll get that chance.
Oliver, how about yourself?
Microsoft has been a pretty stable performer. You know, and if you look at the last couple earnings events here, you know, three out of four steadily going up. A nice volume follow through 4.5 times. It kicks off with a initial, you know, 1.6%. We're now up 8.18%. Steady tech performer. The subscription revenue is good. You know, when you see the next major news event that has good volume follow through, I think it's a good re-entry opportunity.
So does anybody else notice what I'm noticing about this, that it's diverging from the Qs, right? The Qs have been really, really weak, right? We've seen this massive pullback in the Qs all the way to the 50-day. And while the Qs are pulling back here and testing this long-term uptrend, Microsoft here has been strong and kind of leading, right? Strong leading, holding the 8-day up in here at this point. And I've been seeing call buying the October and September 150 15 calls just about every day. They keep coming into these and playing with these. Honestly, for me, if this market's going to run and if we start to break out, this would be one of my go-to names, right? Because it's one of the names they've shown an interest in. They haven't let go of through this entire pullback we've seen in the beta tech space. They just keep coming for it. Their earnings were good. Their cloud is just blowing everybody's away, except for possibly Amazon's at this point, but they're keeping up with them. And it pays a nice dividend, as you mentioned there, Jim. I don't think you're going to get a lot of news until earnings comes on most of these names. We got about 5 weeks now before earnings really kicks in. But I don't know. I don't see a lot better charts looking than this right now in the tech space.
Yeah, the other good news is they're not being subpoenaed to go to Washington, so that might put them at the head of the class too. You know,
great point. Great point. Oliver, why don't you start us off on this behemoth, Turley, which is, God, oh my God.
what a move here. I mean, look at that. It's quite a, a lot of news in that stock today. It's obviously in the hot sector. Huge volume follows through. You know, compare this to, you know, tech stocks in the, you know, early, in the late 99, you know, early first quarter of 2000 before the, you know, bubble hit the peak here. Be very, very careful. There's a lot of momentum opportunities in there. Huge moves, 16.5 million shares after you had that, 12:59 news item here. I mean, it kept popping up on our screen here with quite a few items. It's, the party is fun while it lasts. So that definitely right now has a lot of upside momentum. Would I personally go into that sector? No.
How about you, Jim?
Well, I mean, if you live long enough, you see everything. And now you've seen companies like Coca-Cola and Constellation Brands and all these people talking about getting into the pot business here. So obviously, it's something that you can't, deny is happening. Now, the question is, what are the valuations on these companies and who are going to be the ones that work out? I know that Canopy was another big company in this thing that was doing great. I think this is a rough racket to try to figure out what value is where. So if you can find somebody who is expert at dissecting values in this sector, then I think you might be able to do a decent job on it, because it does seem like there is a future here with this stuff, and it does seem to have a lot of different ways, a lot of different bites on the apple, from medicinal to social to all kinds of different health. So they have all kinds of people biting on this cannabis apple, and so you certainly can't dismiss it, but it's, the way it looks, it's kind of like trying to jump on a Cape Canaveral rocket, because you hear that everyone's going to the moon. So I wouldn't be able to give you too much indication on it, although if it is optionable, which I'm not 100%, is it optionable?
It is, but they are spready and the IV is around 300% on them.
Yeah, so in other words, that makes them, I guess you could spread them out. That would be about the only way to play them.
Good luck.
Yeah, but I mean, even there, the bid offers, you could probably put a Mack truck and three other Mack trucks through it. So at any rate, it's a rough thing to work with. If you're in there, enjoy the ride. And if you can kind of try to figure out how to hedge yourself, I don't think that'd be a terrible idea. But like today, the volume's 18, 19 million on this stock, and the average volume's only 7. So the people are pouring in, tremendously on this thing. So clearly, if you're in there, you're having a fantastic time. And you have to be worried that if you come in now, you're providing liquidity for the smart people who bought down there at 50.
Thanks, Jim. Jim, by the way, you're not showing a screen if you were intending to.
No, I'm just looking at some figures.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So you have a chart up there. Yeah.
For me, what I see here is I call these low float stocks, right? It really is a low float stock. The float is only 17.8 million shares, right? And there's two things that stand out to me when you go look at this, right? Here's your float, and then there's this line, held by institutions, 0%. They don't want anything to do with this stock. So what they're able to do with this stock and why this stock is running like it is because they're rotating the float every day, right? And you're creating a feeding frenzy because there's no float available. And that's why you're getting this massive push up. And today's candle kind of to me scares me. You gapped up, you get this big move, probably one of the widest range candles we've seen on this name since the opening day. And to me, I mean, you cannot, other than day trading or scalping, and even then I'd be careful, you cannot be initiating this thing up here at this point. It's gone from what, 20 to 160 in a month, in 3 months, 2 months? It's insane. Citron short this, and that's probably one of the things that's also feeding it, because every time seems to get short something, it seems to add more pile onto the name. So For me, I have a little stock. NEPT is my pot play, which is doing okay. Not great. Nothing like these guys are doing. But other than a day trade, I wouldn't touch this thing. And if you want to short it with options, be careful. The IV is jacked. And if it goes against you, you're going to be in trouble really, really quick. Anybody else have any thought on these or other pot stocks where we're going through here? All right. So how about to another high flyer? Who wants to take AMD first?
I'll go second.
Okay.
One of the last shows before the last earnings event, I was on the panel too, and my response was, wait for the next earnings event. If there is another good result here, you know, another re-entry opportunity. And I think Dean was the moderator on that. And sure enough, what happened, you know, on the 25th of July, great earnings again, and stock jumps up, you know, more than 100%. Since then, on you know, big volume on the initial day, 400%, and we're still, you know, double the usual daily volume here, 125 million shares, yeah, it's just a great, I mean, great up move here. I think it was Barron's or CNBC had an article yesterday in there, what happened the last time, you know, it had an extended move like this. It crashed 90%, so definitely, you know, put some stops in there. But
I think it was CNBC, and they said that the whole market crashed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the big bust, but obviously the whole market didn't crash 90%, but AMD did. So, I mean, 100% and not even a quarter, I mean, that's a pretty big move here.
Jim, any different opinion?
Yeah, well, the semiconductor ETF, SMH, I thought it had like a little bit of an island reversal there, but there's been very little follow through on it in the last day or so after it popped up from that island that it set down there. So I'm looking at it from a numerical standpoint. The high was like 33 and the 200-day moving average is at 14. That's 100% above, more than 100% above its 200-day. So if I was to be doing something with, I'd be looking for some type of a put option and I'd be looking for some type of a correction. If the SMH fills this gap that it created with this little island and it rolls over into the 100 to 103 area, I would imagine AMD is probably going to get hit a little bit as well. You know, 100% above your 200-day average is the poster boy for overbought. So if I had a gun to my head, I'd be looking at some puts and maybe taking a shot at the put side.
What about Micron earnings on Thursday? Do you think that could affect AMD?
Well, it could. Obviously, earnings are important, but you'd have to wonder how much of the earnings has already been factored in. And if they disappoint, they're going to be using one word down there, and that's going to be timber, right?
Timber. Oliver, back to you real quick. All these analyst upgrades, and I think it was Mizuho that came in today and upgraded to 36. How do you feel about all those? Are these guys just piling on, getting in late to the game at this point, or does your system say this is real?
It's pretty late in the game here. Let me just pull up the AMD here again and just show you all the analyst actions here. See, the last outperform was an initiator of FBN Securities here, medium here, then a low impact. It's not as impactful anymore as, you know, the first couple that did come out. And that's pretty usual, you know, behavior. The early ones typically have the strongest impact and then, you know, momentum slows down a little.
Thanks. So for me, AMD has had tremendous option flow for the last couple of weeks, right? And today was probably the most bearish it's been in a while. And, you know, last week we got this big engulfing reversal candle, and then they came right back into it. And basically, we've had three inside days inside that candle in a row now, right? Just kind of inside that range. It still hasn't even tagged the 8-day, guys. The 8-day is still down here. It hasn't even quite hit it today. For what it's worth, I think it has one more move up to 35 in it before it gives up the ghost. That said, it's very late in the game, right? You're chasing a move that is, you know, not only has it had a huge move since last earnings, I mean, this thing was down at 9, so it's just tripled and basically since the spring at this point down in April. So if you're initiating up here, you're really asking for trouble. That said, if you can get a decent pullback into the 21 would be awesome. If you got to 21, I think I'd buy this thing. I don't know about you guys. I think I'd be wanting to get into this thing. But even if you can get back towards 27 and digest down there, I think you get a pretty decent entrance.
Yeah, I don't like the chart formation as far as a short is concerned because there's no real, you know, nice looking top with a bunch of lows underneath it. You know what I mean?
That's so
it wouldn't
be why I think it has one more move in it.
No, and I wouldn't disagree with that at all. Like I say, I'm not too excited about either buying the absolute low or selling the absolute high. And that one stock JD, you'd be buying the absolute low here, and here you'd just be selling almost near the absolute high. So I'd like a little bit more price evidence on both sides before I would consider a turn, you know.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Oliver, back to you. We have a little one here, PGTI. I don't know much about them. How about
you? There is a secondary public offering here in the VA that was on the 14th that actually triggered a short on the 14th, and the stock dropped. Let me just pull it up here. It was actually on six times the usual volume here. So it was a pretty sizable move here. On 4.8 million shares, and it has slowed down since then a little here. Definitely too late to get into a short, but it's still below the secondary announcement, so that might indicate something about the interest you're going to see out of that offering.
Thank you. Jim, what are your thoughts?
Another classic example of being way too far from its 200-day average, and then something occurs to make it roll back. The 200-day average is down in around the 19 area, and this thing went as high is 26. So, you know, you were pretty darn far away from the 200-day when you're up at 26. And this is a area, building materials and products, that seem to have hit a skid as some of the housing numbers have not been exactly as robust as they had been. And there was a thing about consumer confidence in global growth that Bank of America did here today, and it showed the number went to 24 from 9. So if you get people that are not as aggressively optimistic or get nervous about stuff, you know, maybe they put off projects or something for a little bit. Maybe that's a factor. But I think the sector that it's in, the bloom came off the rose a little bit. And then, of course, this thing was extended. And that's pretty much the double whammy. If you're extended and people start sobering up on your sector, you know, you're going to get hit.
So is there a short or a long here for you? Or is there just
There could be a long if it stabilizes around the 19-20 area. There could be a long in here because, you know, if they keep lowering taxes, you know, they already loaded them 40%. Now they're talking about lowering it more on 2.0. You know, the more they get, more money they get into the consumer's pocket. And then, you know, if the real estate continues to, you know, show some life, it could rotate into this kind of sector again. So I would be, you know, looking toward, and the 50 and the 200 day are inverted. You're at 23 and change on the 50 and 19 on the, and change on the 200. So if it came here and sell and stabilized between 19 and 20, it might be something I'd take a bite out of, but it wouldn't be like tomorrow morning.
So for me, this is not a stock I typically would play. I might invest in it, but I wouldn't play it, right? It doesn't have the volume I need, right? I like at least 1 million shares a day on average. And this thing is typically under 500,000. So for a trading vehicle, to me, this is not a trading name. This is an investing name. RSI is oversold. We hit, we're under 30 here. It's under out of the Bollinger Bands here, well off the 8 and the 21 day. I would look for some type of reversal, maybe a dead cat bounce, if you would, but some type of reversal here. It's just extended to the downside here at this point. Everything is saying it should try to bottom out in this area, at least short term, and then we'll see. It actually has fairly decent support in this area too, right? This 21 area picks up a bunch of candles in this area where it consolidated, right? It had a nice consolidation range here. If it hit the 21, the 200 day, I think that would be a nice setup, but I think you're going to need it to go sideways for a few sessions before it gets into it. So for me, this is a oversold bounce type play, maybe back to reconnect up towards the 23 area, but nothing else other than that. And for me, I really probably won't even touch a name like this. All right, so we're about halfway through the show, maybe a little over. And so this is where I give you guys the chance to tell us about a name or two you want, you're looking at or tracking and want to get into. And Oliver, why don't we start with you? What's something you have on your radar here?
Sure. Let me quickly go to the right page here and just pull up my... my scanner from today, SGRY Surgery Partners had a upgrade from B of A Merrill earlier this morning. Actually had a webinar, and that was one of the picks we actually looked at in real time earlier this morning. Saw some good follow through here on the volume side, five times the usual volume. It's 666,000 shares, and so on the long side, right? That's one of the things I looked at earlier this morning and jumped all the way up, you know, 17%, and then gave back some profits. But the volume follow through looks pretty good. So that's good. You know, continue a nice, nice move here.
Okay. Anything else?
On the short side, let me just got so many windows open here. Let me just change my skin here. Superior Drilling here was one of the. It actually reversed. Yeah, we had that on there on. That was another short setup we looked at. Didn't hold up into the close and. Let me see. I had one more here. Yeah, I'll find it if you can come back to me here. Yeah,
sure. Thanks, Oliver. Jim, what are you looking at here?
I've been looking at Wynn when it broke under 130 on some pretty big action from the 150 area. I thought it looked like it might be an exhausted thing down there, and it did run from 126 up to 140. Now it's pulled back towards 130, and I think if it were to break above 140, it may be going up pretty good. I think the consumer's got a lot of money to do gaming, and I think that if they you know, are not going to get aggressive with each other, and these tariffs that we've heard today don't sound very aggressive to me, so if they're not going to get very aggressive, a lot of people who might have sold out of Wynn and Sand because of what's going on in Macau or concerns about what's going on in Macau, they may come back in. So I thought the stock has gone from over $200 down to 126, looked pretty good. And then it went to 140, pulled back here to 130. And now if it gets above 140, I think adding to that makes some sense. And then your get out point obviously should be right around the 126 area, 127, whatever the low that was established. And see if there's a turn down here, because there could be.
They've been buying the hell out of it. Doesn't seem to be working, but they're trying.
Yeah.
All right. For me, guys, I want to bring your attention to Starz, Constellation Brand. Now, this is, you know, for me, I like one thing I like about this name is it's kind of doesn't care what the market does, right? This thing is everybody's always drinking. So kind of like that. And you look at this beautiful candle, and then they announced they invested $4 billion into the pot company CGC, and they got beat up for that, which I'm still not sure why when all the pot companies are running wild. But today, you know, they've been lots of small call buying, and then today they really just came after it. They hit the Jan 250 calls hard. 36,000 of them. Got to check open interest tomorrow because there is about the same amount in open interest, but they looked bought. They were on the ask. The stock reacted aggressively. The IV jumped huge on the order. So what I'm looking at for this name is if this is behind us now and they're coming back into it, you know, they're buying up here, way up here. And I'm not sure it's going to get to 250, but if it can get here above 223, which is not a big move for it at this point, you have this big gap to fill and put this all the way up to 230. So I think you have a tradable play in this name up to the 230 area over the next month. It really wants to get going. And it's a name I'd keep an eye on. And I like it again because it does. It generally doesn't care what the market's doing. If the market's selling off, this name will go against it. It's just kind of does its own thing. And hey, everybody drinks, right? Everybody's always out drinking. It's kind of a recession-proof type business. So I kind of like this. All right, back to our list. Oliver, CVX, what do you think?
Well, I had one more short, just very quickly. Yeah, you caught me by surprise. Normally, in the other shows, the picks were always at the end, so didn't have it arranged right.
My apologies. I like to shake it up.
No, it's good to mix things up. CBRL, Cracker Barrel had an earnings miss today, 1.6 million shares. That could be a down move that's going to continue here.
Thank you.
Sure.
But I like Cracker Barrel.
On the long side?
No. To go get a meal there?
Yeah, but if you look at, you know, hasn't been going anywhere in the past, in 2018 so far, you know, started out the year at $160. Now we're at $150. And it's not looking good.
The valuations might not be very good, but the lines around the building look pretty good.
Yep. That's right. Thanks.
We're at CVX now?
Yeah, one sec before we go in there, and you can start it, Jim.
Okay, yeah. That's Chevron.
Real quick, Jim, one sec. The crude inventories number came out when the show started, and we have a surprise build on crude, so we'll see how crude reacts to this tomorrow. So go ahead.
Well, I think that this stock was trying to come off the canvas, but it sounds like there's going to be a little bit of a tsunami hitting it in the morning, maybe. Once it broke 120, it was in some difficult times, 122 actually. The 50 and the 200-day are mostly right around the 121, 122 area. So that's going to be your resistance, I think, right now. This is a company, I think, obviously very well run and always pays a good solid dividend. It had its big run up in January, then it ran up in a month or two later, couldn't take out January's high, and it's been on the defensive ever since. Most people think that the 65-70 area on crude is the low, and it'll be stable to higher from there, and that these companies should do well. So as an investor-y type thing, it may be something worthwhile. Personally, I wouldn't want to hold anything that's under the 200-day averages like this. So I'd probably, if I didn't own it, I'd wait for it to start clearing the 122 area. And if I did own it, I'd probably do some defensive tactics until it got above the 122, which would be your covered calls, your collars, or some kind of a married put on it. Because it is a little bit weak here, as long as it's under 122. If these numbers came out bad, if oil's going to lose a buck or two tomorrow, then I'm sure that this thing may very well get on the defensive again. So look at that 122 area as a ceiling right now, and then basically see what happens.
Thank you, sir. Oliver, what are your thoughts?
On Chevron?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So the last major news item that had more than low follows through here, pretty much all the news since the 6th of September have been of low impact. But we did have a downgrade from BofA Merrill Lynch here. Stock went down over 2% and on more than double the volume. But since then, pretty much has gone back. Back out to break even. So pretty quiet from a news point of view. And, definitely don't see a news-based entry long or short at this time.
So no catalyst for you.
Yep, that's correct.
So energy has been frustrating me, right? I've been looking at this space, and even today, it was one of the areas that was on my list today. And a lot of the names popped on the open, then just pulled back after the first 30 minutes all day long and didn't go anywhere. This chart, to me, have been one of their favorites, and it's kind of fallen out of grace for him here. And it's trying to get going again, but showing no real power. I would rather look at names like COP, which they've been buying and it's near highs, MRO, mm-hmm. RIG, WILL, right? Some other names in that space, which they seem to get call buying. They seem to at least have the charts look better. This chart to me looks vulnerable still. It's trying to bottom, but it's not giving any power on it, right? It's not giving me anything. I think, Jim, you said it needs to get above 122.
I think so.
I would probably have an interest if it broke the 200-day on 119 with volume. I have it around 120. So let's call it 120. How about we call it there? And the 50 days coming into there. So you can get the 50 and the 200-day coming together, and that would get my attention on it. But I would need the whole sector to be going. I don't think I would try to play this against a sector that's not moving here. You guys have any other further thoughts on CVX or any of the other names in the oil space? All right.
It's meandering while oil is meandering.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Although Saudi Arabia said they're good with $80 oil today. Jim,
we should see that 121 pretty soon.
Yeah, right? We'll see a lot of other names moving. Jim, why don't you start us off with Cliff, CLF?
Yeah, they're iron steel, and I was told today, as far as I could hear, that the steel stocks were doing quite well. So they were obviously not disappointed that it was a 10% tariff, I guess. And I guess turnout for it was not bad. Now, this thing seems to be breaking out on the upside. The chart looked very strong, looked very good. It is a little bit far away from its 200-day average, but that can happen if something's breaking out. Right now, it's about $4 above its average, which is 50% above its average, which kind of is not my cup of tea. But if you did play it for the breakout, this reaction low right around 9 or 10 would be a line in the sand for you. And then if you want to play momentum, it does have some decent momentum right now. Volume today was above normal, 14 million and change, according to what I'm reading. And so that's good. And the volume's been coming in as the prices have been appreciating, and it's been stair-stepping its way to the upside. So if people do believe that the steel and the iron business, is going to be, there was a cloud on it maybe, and now the cloud's being lifted. This thing's had a very good 2018. The low a year ago on November 2017 was 560, so you're already doubled. And, it does seem to have good momentum. So, if I was going to play this thing at all, it's definitely to the upside.
Oliver, why don't you give us your opinion on it?
So today we did see a downgrade, actually pretty late in the session here at 12:54 p.m. and the stock at a 35% higher reaction than usual. That's pretty low. Anything under 2 after a analyst upgrade or downgrade is pretty below average. So not very impactful. And definitely, from a news point of view, I wouldn't see this as a catalyst to get in right now. But it was pretty late in the day.
Thank you. I'm going to bring your guys' attention to a weekly chart. And you look at a weekly chart, and it's just getting back up into this area, right? Just into this 1250 area, which it's just coming into, which has been, you can kind of say it's, here was your big bottom and your move up. Now it's making, it looks like a cup. So I'd expect some sideways action here. Unless, I think, as Jim said, this whole sector just catches fire, right? Kind of like what we had after Trump was elected president, right? With all the steel names and everything were running rampant with the banks. That is a possibility here. But this name moves very slow. This is a investment. This is not a day trade tool. This is a, you buy and you hold it for a while. This thing can move in pennies a day sometimes. For me, I would rather trade names like F or FCX or some of those names if I really wanted to play in that industry. This one just doesn't have the range for me or the movement on it. That said, it's well traded, has good profits. There was good call buying on it again today. So if you like the name, the setup's there. It's just coming into resistance and it's getting hot. It's getting hot on all levels. So I'd be careful niching it up here unless we have better news. All right, Oliver, one of the all-time favorites, IBM.
IBM, just underperforming. If we look at the last earnings event here, beat earnings, only up 2.72% since then. Volume follow through has been falling. There's just more attractive names in the tech sector that drive more momentum. You have an initial, okay reaction at quadruple the usual volume. You move up 3%, but then there's no sustainable growth after that if you compare it to other tech names. So definitely, if you got in after the last earnings, I would see, better ways to deploy your capital. There's no momentum on the news side in that stock.
The one thing I've been watching for, because they're trying to develop blockchain technology, right? And I've seen very little news on it.
Well, when they we were actually looking at using Watson, all the machine learning stuff and everything. That was their last big tech driver, and they really tried to be like a Silicon Valley startup company, hiring young people, doing startup like deals, but they never really got that off the ground in industries other than healthcare. So I just think, they're trying, but they haven't really, gotten to the next thing yet. Not in the cloud space. You got Amazon and Microsoft being the leaders there. They tried to be in the cloud space too late, too little. Then with Watson, they tried to be in the AI machine learning space. Yeah, in healthcare, it's pretty popular. But other industries, I haven't seen too much traction. One guy I talked to, our industry in the investing world, said it was one of the worst deals he ever made. They rewrote everything from scratch a year later after doing that deal. So there's just some, shiny new object needs to come along that really, gains some traction as a market leader. Other than that, it's just, same old big blue here.
Thank you, sir. Jim, what's your opinion?
After we busted down under 150, it's been kind of dead, going back and forth, back and forth. It's in between the two moving averages now of 150 and 145. Volume today kind of was low. Seems like the interest in the company is very low. The only thing is it has some history of filling in gaps, and there is a gap between 153, just ballpark figure, and 158, something like that. So, is there a possibility it fills in that gap? If it breaks above 150, the odds of filling in that gap is going to be increasing tremendously. So if you want to do a trade on it, a short-term spec, if it got above 150, you might play it for the 155 to 158 area on a speculation.
And Jim, I think you nailed the only thing that has my attention on this chart, and it's that big ass gap, right? And we could say ass, right? That's a technical term.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you're right. There's a big gap that's sitting right here, and it's butting up against it, right? It's kind of pushing at it, and it can't get through. If it gets into that gap, this thing could really go on a tear, right? It has, you know, it could run all the way to 155, but really right now on my chart anyway, it's above all the moving averages again, above the 200-day and the 8-day, and it's flagging here at the edge of that gap. So I would have an alert on this. If it, you know, if I saw a big call buying, we've seen some call buying the last week, not huge, but some, which is better than we normally see in the name. Usually there's none. And I would have an alert because if it got in that gap, I would take a shot on this name. There's no reason not to, because, you know, the one thing about this market is they're looking to play with names and play momentum and just a couple names a day. So if IBM gave them some place to play for a day or two, I wouldn't be surprised if they would run it up through that gap. But I think to both of your points, as an investment standpoint or from a long-term standpoint, other than that gap, this company just doesn't seem to be able to do anything right. One other point on the daily chart, you do have a series of higher lows off that low, right? So since we put that low in back in June, we're putting a series of higher lows in. So that's a very bullish sign for a chart. So again, that's another reason I'd want to keep an eye on this one and try to be long. All right, Jim, let's skip shop and let's do...
Oh, okay.
You want to do shop?
No, I just was wondering what you want to do next.
Well, we don't have that much time left and we have NVIDIA.
You're the moderator, you know, we're going to follow the moderator here.
All right. Why don't we do NVIDIA here? A lot of people keep asking about that name.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely one of the leaders.
And it's also another Citron short.
And if you're a trader, I guess it's pretty good for that too, because it does give you some volatility. So at any rate, yeah, I mean, they caught everybody short when that one earnings came out, and all of a sudden they tanked it to 240, and the whole world got short, and then within about 48 hours, they had to cover it. So it was a real trap on that one. And then it's run up here to 285, and I'm wondering if it's a little bit like Facebook. Remember how Facebook out of the blue went up to like 210, 220, and then all of a sudden it was in the soup. So I don't know if that's going to play out the same way here, but this seems like an out-of-the-blue move up to 285, and the recent highs cannot take out 285. And now we have a stem down there at around 260 or so, whatever that stem is at, right? And so I would not be surprised if the board cannot go through these highs and they roll over. This would be one of the casualties of the rollover. So it's going to probably be very, very connected to how the board does, meaning do the Qs and the S&P go on this leg that people are talking about in the fourth quarter, where we're going to get this 10% melt up possibly? Well, if it's going to get a 10% melt up, you would imagine NVIDIA is going to be in the game. If the whole world is looking for a 10% melt up and it doesn't play out that way, then obviously this one would be one of the casualties. Right now, you know, it looks like it's still very strong. Let me just check the moving average. It was way away from the average. I don't know where it is now.
239.
So you got some real estate between the high. You got about a $45 differential there. And the volume, 7 million, you know, it is drying up a little bit. You know, the 200-day average volume was almost 13 million. Now you're at 7 million. So, you know, it's not exactly a line wrapped around the block playing this thing volume-wise. So, I would say that it looks like it could have a pullback in a very strong market unless we take out the highs on the general indexes.
Thank you, sir. Oliver.
Yeah, you already summed it up perfectly on the last earnings event. You know, stock gets beat up 5% on more than triple the volume, you know, almost quadruple, 27 million shares. So pretty high volume there, and then complete reversal there. And it wasn't just like that with the last earnings event. You had the same situation here, one before that back in May, but only with a 2.3% down move. And then the stock kept going up after that. And then the last two before that were in the direction of the earnings event. So definitely, you know, some caution here required. And typically with a news-driven approach, you know, we like to deploy our capital elsewhere. If you're seeing, you know, a opposite reaction here to what it generally tends to do, so just, you know, take the money off the table and put it into the next opportunity that's going to, you know, move in the direction you want to see there. And, you know, repeat that process over and over and over. And since history repeats itself, you know, it puts money into your account.
Thank you.
Not every trade can be a winner.
Nope, not every trade is a winner. That is for sure. For me, it's one of my favorite companies. I'll be honest with you. I've loved what this company's been doing for the last couple of years. I remember down in the 20s. Here we are up in the 2. I think it's going to 300 at some point this year. I just don't know how it gets there. For me, as long as it, you know, the fact that it's holding this breakout level around this 269, I know we dip below it, but we close back on it. This is bullish as long as it stays above here and closes above here. And it's bullish because if it's holding the breakout, it means it's in the game for a move higher. And all we've done here is we've cooled off RSI and consolidated this move. You know, you look here at the CMF indicator, which is the Chalkland money flow, and it tracks money coming into the stock. It's still up really high. So institutions aren't dumping it here. That said, if Micron is bad and the rest of the semis are bad, this one's going to take a massive hit. And, you know, we haven't seen the 200 day. And I don't know when's the last time we saw the 200 day on this one, but it's slowly catching up, Jim.
Yeah. No, and listen, it's a great company. And I wouldn't say anything negative on it because it is a great company. I'm just saying that with the 285 kind of blow off, if there was any news of any sobriety, there's enough real estate underneath. But just similar to Amazon, when it hit 2050, I said, listen, if 200 days at 1500, you know, it's not going to go, every time it goes away from it further, it's not getting less risky. The bottom line is even good companies pull back because they are just technically overdone. The volume only goes so far. Once everybody fills in that volume, if there's not additional buying volume behind it, it falls under its own weight. That's exactly what happened to Amazon recently, I think.
All right. Well, guys, it's the an hour. That went quick. Oliver, why don't you tell us again how to get a hold of you and how people should contact you and what you do?
Sure. So we got a opt-in here on our site, newsquantified.com. Just click on the Learn More. It explains the whole data-driven approach here that is news-based. There's a button here if you want to learn more in a training session, which we do weekly, or you can opt in to the newsletter here on the site. Learn more about the news-driven approach that has been, you know, working really well since 2005, since I got involved in that. It's all quantified, clear rules when to get in, when to get out, and there's events every single day in the market, and we've now got over 12 million historic news items in our database, and history keeps repeating itself. So if anybody wants to find out more, sign up for the newsletter or one of the upcoming training sessions, and look forward to seeing you there. So thanks again for having me, and it was great interacting with you guys.
Oliver, thanks for being on. It was a pleasure doing the show with you. Jim, same thing. Tell us about yourself, how to get a hold of you.
A daily update on a podcast, and so I invite all of the listeners here to join me on that every week, whether you're interested in stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies, or anything else investing-oriented. I'm more than happy to help you with that. You can find out how to get the link for that at optionprofessor@gmail.com. Just shoot an email over and we'll make sure you get rigged up. You know, some things I didn't mention, you know, that if you're a believer in the consumer sector and the consumer discretionary sector, you know, MasterCard and Visa have continued to look very firm. And something that I've been keen on in the last month is the industrials, and that would include the transports. And they have not been doing too badly as well. And if this S&P is going to break out to the upside, it does look like the industrials will be right there with them. So there's a lot to learn each and every week. I'm more than happy to give you a hand, and optionprofessor@gmail.com is where to get that link for the podcast on the weekly update.
Jim, pleasure as always. Thanks again for doing the show, and great being on with you as well.
Thanks.
For myself, I'm Mike Pisani with smartoptiontrading.com. You can find me there, right there. You come in, click on find out more. I do two things, really. I do real-time option flow every day. I do a morning setups video talking about what I like for the day. I do a daily recap video telling you about what I did in the day, what I like moving forward, and how I generally feel about the markets. Throughout the day, you get all the option flow, any trades I do, and news that I pick up on along the way. So tradable ideas all day long. So whether you're a day trader or swing trader, lots of information comes on that there for you through private Twitter. I also do a weekly subscriber-only webinar, which is about teaching. We spend a half an hour to 45 minutes every day going over your questions and answers. And I'm live each day about 3 hours where you can talk to me. So if this is something you're interested in, come in and find out, sign up. Love to have you on board. If not, follow me at OptionsMike on Twitter, and you can get all sorts of free stuff I put up there, lots of charts and ideas throughout the day. I'd like to thank everybody for being with us. And David, right on time, I think. Turning it over to you.
Yeah, perfect. So thanks, guys. Great show. Just reminder to everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past show archives. Both shows will be on next week. So the next episode of Crowdforcecast News will be September 24th, Monday. That's Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. The 50th episode of this show will be Tuesday, September 25th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. Lee Harris, Jim Kenny, Roy Swanson, Anka Metcalf, and Larry Gaines are some of the people I have on the docket or on the list for next week. And I just want to thank everyone again from this episode, Mike Bassani of AlphaShark.com and SmartOptionTrading.com, Oliver Schmalholz of NewsQuantified.com, and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.